Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
Yo, 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 everybody, it's Stretch Armstrong.
And my name is Bobby DeGarcia, a.k.a. Cool Bob Love. If you love this podcast you are listening to, you should check out our new show, What's Good with Stretch and Bobbito. This is not your average interview show. We're going to be telling stories that you're not going to hear anywhere else. Find it on Apple Podcasts, the NPR One app, or however you find your podcasts.
It's What's Good.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from the Bell House in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask me another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. We have a great show for you. Four brilliant contestants are here to play our nerdy games. They're waiting backstage memorizing facts, and just in case, memorizing alternative facts. And our special guest is Zazie Beetz, who plays Vanessa on the Golden Globe-winning show Atlanta. And the episode that's centered on her character has been hailed as particularly riveting, as it has an 8-minute-long scene of two female characters having real conversation with each other, which I both applaud and think, like, my God, it's 2017. Like, wow, what's next? Equal pay? We'll be talking to Zazie a little later in the show, but now let's meet our first two contestants. They'll play a game where we turn comedies into tragedies. And no, we're not reading today's news. First up, Evan Halperin on buzzer number one. You work in market intelligence for architecture and engineering firms. Welcome.
Hello.
That's the kind of job you can work from home.
I do work from home.
Okay, so what are some tips you can give people who want to work from home, but they're afraid that they will not be productive?
I guess one benefit is you don't have to wear pants.
Okay, yeah, that's that's one way to be productive.
I don't know if that actually helps your productivity, but
your opponent is Katie Williams on buzzer number two.
Hello.
You work at a small design company. Welcome.
Thank you.
Katie.
Yes?
You're 6 feet tall. I can tell from standing next to you. But you tell people that you're 5'12".
Yeah. Yep. 5'12 is like a lot more appealing, and it kind of catches people off guard.
So you were even a little embarrassed to tell your boyfriend how tall you were?
Yeah, so I met him on Tinder, which I know is a really bad thing now.
It's
sketchy. Bumble is the thing now, but back in my day, Bumble didn't exist yet.
Yeah, back in my day, you sat at a bar and you looked at the closest person you could stand to look at. All right, Katie and Evan, the first of you who wins two of our games will move on to the final round at the end of the show. Let's go to your first game, Katie. Did you know you can take any comedy and turn it into a tragedy by saying the plot in reverse?
I do now.
Yeah, that's right. We're turning Judd Apatow into Darren Aronofsky.
For example, if I said a young boy becomes distant from his father and decides to spend all of his time with interlocking bricks, your answer would be the Lego movie.
Here we go. After falling in love with a coworker, a weatherman lives the same day over and over, becomes more and more of a jerk, and winds up alone. Evan.
Groundhog Day?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
A foul-mouthed toy bear causes so many problems that its owner goes back in time to wish it would die. Katie.
Ted.
That's right.
Two dudes meet Neil Patrick Harris on the way home from their favorite slider joint and then stop smoking pot. What a lovely story. Katie.
Harold and Kumar go to White Castle?
Yes, that's right. Now that is a tragedy.
Yeah, that's a very sad story. Very sad story. A nun changes the lyrics of My God to My Guy, leaves the convent to become a lounge singer, and witnesses a murder. Evan.
Ghost?
No, I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Katie, do you know the answer?
Sister Act?
That's right, Sister Act.
I know. And then as punishment, she ends up on The View. Two unemployed guys take $200 from a drug dealer in South Central, say hello to Felicia, and end the day people watching on the front porch. Evan.
Friday.
Yes, that's correct.
Two guys in suits and sunglasses kick out the members of their band one by one, returning one to his wife, Aretha Franklin, and then drive to an Illinois prison. Katie.
The Blues Brothers.
You got it.
I guess in that version, they're on a mission from Dog.
I'll allow it.
Thank you. A Scottish nanny removes her big fake boobs and reveals he's a struggling, irresponsible actor, then marries the mother of his charges. Evan.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
That is correct.
This is your last clue. A middle-aged man becomes celibate, starts collecting action figures, and grows in his chest hair. Evan.
40-year-old virgin?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Let's go to our puzzle guru, John Chinesky, to find out how our contestants did.
Well, we have a tie.
Whoa.
Yes, we do. So we're going to go to a tiebreaker, and here it is. A construction worker puts a destroyed printer back together and becomes a bored software engineer who hates filling out SPT reports. Evan?
Office Space.
Office Space is right. Congratulations, Evan. You're one step closer to moving to our final round.
So in our next game, we're going to find out what our show would sound like if it were auditioning for Oliver. Katie, can you do any accents?
Well, I was going to say I can do a British one. But...
Okay, let's hear. Just say, hello, my name is Katie, and, you know, this show is a bit dodgy. How about that?
Hello, my name is Katie, and I think this show's a bit dodgy.
Yeah, I like it. Very good.
So embarrassing.
It's great. Evan, can you do any accents?
Not well, no.
No?
I'm thinking that maybe I should learn Russian and maybe do a Russian accent. Might get me somewhere now.
I don't know what you're talking about,
just
Evan.
Just planning some strategy. All right, well, listen up, Anglophiles. It's time for a trivia game we call Lemon Tart Smart. And this is all about Cockney rhyming slang. Puzzle guru John Chinesky, what is that?
Cockney rhyming slang is where you replace a common word with a seemingly unrelated phrase. The last word of the slang rhymes with the word it's replacing. For example, the slang for the word smart is lemon tart. Smart rhymes with tart.
So I'm going to read sentences that end with the Cockney rhyming slang. Use the context clues to buzz in and tell us what the phrase means in American English. Evan, you won the last game, so you win this. You'll go to the final round. Katie, you need to win this or you'll be brown bread, which is Cockney rhyming slang for dead.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have to murder you if you don't.
We've changed the stakes of the show. It's worth it.
It was so worth it.
Totally worth it.
Okay, here we go. I drank one too many pints while I sat at the near and far. Evan.
Bar?
The bar. Yeah, that's right.
Duh.
Yeah. In the Philadelphia Museum of Art, you'll see a still life with flowers and fruit. But as Rocky Balboa will tell you, you don't need to go inside the museum to see 72 apples and pears.
Rocky Balboa famously...
Evan. What's going on?
Bear.
Bear?
Bears? No.
Katie?
Remember when he had the box against that bear?
Yeah. Katie, can you steal?
Stairs,
yeah. Yeah.
Evan's like, oh, that makes so much more sense than bear.
Here's your next one. Dr. Ruth, Dan Savage, and Mallory Ortberg all make their living dispensing lumps of ice. Katie.
Advice?
Yeah, that's right. Most of the advice is on what to do with my lump of ice. About 1 in 4 American men age 25 or older have never had a trouble and strife. Katie, ringing in quick on this one. What do you got?
A wife?
That is correct, I'm afraid. What'd you think of that question there, John?
I don't have any opinion about it. I think wives are great.
Here's your next one. Craps is a game where you bet on the role of rats and mice. Katie?
The dice?
Yeah, that's right. I haven't been out for a ride in a while. In my basement, there's a bunch of cobwebs on my clever mic. Evan?
Bike? Exercise bike?
I'll go with your first answer.
I'll go with your first answer.
But I like how you decided to get more specific, just in case. All right, this is your last clue. According to Starbucks, the drink that demonstrates the height of our barista's craft is Al Pacino. Katie?
Cappuccino?
Yes, say hello to my little venti. Puzzle Girl John Chinesky, how did our contestants do?
Well, in this case, Katie was our steak dinner,
nice.
Our winner.
Yeah.
We're tied one game apiece, so it's time for a quick game three. I'll give you a category, and you'll go back and forth naming things that fall into that category. The first contestant to mess up by either giving a wrong answer, repeating an answer, or taking too long will be eliminated. Buzz in to answer first. Name the 13 provinces and territories of Canada. Katie, you're first. We just need one right now from you.
Come on, guys.
Quebec?
Quebec is right. Evan?
Alberta?
Alberta's correct. Katie?
Nova Scotia?
Yes, Nova Scotia. Evan?
Ontario?
Ontario's correct. Katie?
The look on Katie's face is remarkable.
Oh my God, this is so embarrassing.
3 seconds.
Montreal is
not a city. The other answers were British Columbia, Manitoba, New Brunswick, Newfoundland and Labrador, Northwest Territories, Nunavut, Prince Edward Island, Saskatchewan, and Yukon. Thanks, Katie. Sorry to see you go. Congratulations, Evan. You're moving on to the final round.
Coming up, we'll find out who will face off against Evan in our final round at the end of the show, and Jonathan Coulton will parody your 28th favorite Beatles song. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and you're listening to Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from Capital One, presenting sponsor of the 2024 Tiny Desk Contest. Earlier this year, unsigned musicians from around the country submitted their original songs for the 10th annual Tiny Desk Contest. The panel of judges are hard at work picking standout entries, and you can follow along and choose your favorite videos as well. The winner gets to play their very own Tiny Desk concert, then headline a tour with NPR Music this summer. Want to come along for the ride? Visit tinydeskcontest.npr.org to learn more, then check out the Venture X card from presenting sponsor Capital One. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia. I'm Jonathan Coulton, here with puzzle guru John Chinesky. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Before the break, our contestant Evan won his way to the final round. At the end of the show, we'll find out a little later who he will face off against. But first, it's time for a game we call Mystery Guest. A stranger is about to come on stage. Jonathan Coulton and I have no idea who this person is or what makes them special. Only our puzzle guru, John Chinesky, does.
That's right. You and Jonathan will have to ask yes or no questions to figure out our mystery guest's secret. Mystery guest, please introduce yourself.
My name is Maddie Joyce, and I have a hobby that many women do not, or most women do not.
Your job is to figure out what that hobby is. Ophira, you ask the first question.
I don't know why this came into my mind, but I'm just going to say it. Are you a blacksmith?
No.
All right.
It's worth a shot.
It's a great hobby, though. It's some kind of heavy startup cost.
I don't know.
Maddie, is your hobby related to the arts?
No.
No.
Maddie, does your hobby include physical exertion?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
You're nodding your head like maybe. So much.
Kind of,
technically,
a little bit.
You have to move around.
Yes, yes.
Is it a sport of some kind?
It can be. It
not
can
not
be.
Typically thought of as a sport, no.
Okay.
No. Can you do it competitively?
You can.
You can add a competitive aspect to it, but better think about other things, yeah.
Do you have to be outside to practice this hobby?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You have to be outside.
Yes.
Does it require using your hands?
Yes.
Is your hobby season dependent?
No.
Do you need a lot of space to do this hobby?
Yeah.
Yeah? Are you racing cars?
No.
Okay.
Are you throwing boomerangs?
No.
Maddie is usually very high, not very high, but high up when she's doing this.
Are you flying?
I am not flying.
You are not flying, but you are in the air.
I am on a structure high in the air.
Is it like a condo that is almost finished?
No.
Okay.
Are you climbing buildings?
No. Yeah.
Are you a sniper?
No.
Are you a window washer just like a hobby as a
no,
hobby?
No.
For fun.
She's on a rooftop.
Yeah.
And this is people in Brooklyn. This is like a really Brooklyn thing.
I know what it is. I know what it is now.
What?
Ah.
Are there birds involved?
Yes. There
are. Are you a pigeon keeper?
Yes.
Yes, very good. Let me explain. Madeline works for Duke Riley, the artist behind the Fly By Night art project, which involved over 2,000 pigeons with LED lights attached to their feet flying over the Brooklyn Navy Yards. Now, after the project ended, they've got about 300 pigeons left over, and she's taking care of them.
So, that's amazing.
I have a question. You said there were a couple of thousand, and they have 300 left over?
Well...
They didn't make it.
They took those LED lights and they were like, see later.
Free lights, let's get out of here.
Free lights.
I've always wanted this.
I have always been fascinated by this because sometimes, this is a thing that you see sometimes in Brooklyn. It's a weird thing unless you know what it is, but sometimes you'll see somebody standing on a roof and they're waving a flag and there's a giant flock of pigeons sort of circling the building. And you're like, what are all those birds doing? And the answer is what? What are they doing? They're exercising them or just
exercising, flying them. They react to the flag and they just, you know, fly as I would normally.
Is it a predominantly male hobby?
Yes.
Why?
Absolutely. I don't know. It always has been.
Yeah.
Now,
it's messy.
How many women have you come across in pigeon keeping?
None. I do not know any.
Wow.
None. Like, do you name 300 of them? Or you?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay, who's your favorite? Who's your favorite?
I got a lot of favorite pigeons.
Yeah?
Now, Maddie,
like
who?
It's a perfect Brooklyn quote.
That's true.
Don't
Maddie,
make
who
choose.
Is who lives with you?
I have a pigeon named Tofu living with me right now. Aww. Cute bird.
Yeah.
Tofu was raised with humans mostly, so does not really fit in with the other birds. So,
oh,
right.
I hear that.
She thinks she's
Maddie.
A human.
She thinks she's a human.
Yeah.
Were you into pigeons before you started working with Duke Riley and the Fly By Night project?
No, I was not.
So how did you feel about that when they said to you, hey, you'll be looking after these thousands of pigeons?
I felt okay about it. I took it as it came.
Yeah. And how many years have you been doing this?
I've been with Duke for like 5 years, so he's always had pigeons around, and I've kind of learned to
What was
take
the earlier project
him.
He did with pigeons?
He had pigeons fly from Cuba to Key West with Cuban cigars.
Would you like ever give one away to someone?
Were
you?
Yeah, we gave a lot away after the project was done.
I know somebody who would like one.
I mean, hey, you know who to talk to.
Do you charge $5 for people to come up on the roof or anything like
that?
No,
I will.
Okay, good to know. I set the price very affordable, everybody. Give it up for our mystery guest, Maddie Joyce. Soon, Jonathan Colton will peer into the souls of our next two contestants. So let's meet them. First up, Lori Bader on buzzer number one. You're joining us from D.C., and you work in communication and media relations for a large charity. Welcome.
Thanks.
Lori, you once saved your boss's life using the Heimlich maneuver exactly 1 hour after your review.
Yeah. Timing is everything.
Did you get a good review?
It was a pretty good review, but I think it would have been better like an hour and a half later.
Your opponent is Nicole Schermerhorn on buzzer number two. You're starting a new job as a federal banking regulator. Welcome.
Happy to be here.
Nicole, your parents raised cattle, which they named after you and your sisters. What happened to those cows?
They went to see Farmer George, who was the butcher.
Yeah.
And then went into our deep freeze.
Okay. Did you eat?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Was that cool?
I don't think we thought as much about it. There was a rooster that we really disliked, so we were happy to eat him.
So remember, Nicole and Lori, the first of you who wins two of our games will move on to our final round at the end of the show. So your first challenge is a music parody game. Jonathan Colton, take it away.
We took the Beatles song I'm Looking Through You, which is a fine song, and rewrote it to be about things you can look through. I know, that's the kind of crazy stuff we do here on Ask Me Another.
Clever.
Buzz in to guess what I'm singing about. Are you ready?
Ready.
Here we go. I'm looking through you out into space. I'm looking for an alien race. Don't need a rocket to see the stars or find a new friend up there on Mars. Lori.
A telescope.
Telescope is correct. I shouldn't do this, but here I go, reading about things I shouldn't know. You keep it locked, but I stole the key. Your thoughts are secret, but not to me. Lori.
A diary.
A diary.
Somebody else's.
Someone else's diary, sure. Here's a tip. Don't ever look through someone's diary to find out what they think about you.
Yeah. Because it's never going to be like, oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. I just really like them, and they're great in every way, and I have nothing bad to say about them, which is why I'm writing about them in my diary right now. Why, tell me, why did you edit that site? Changing those public entries so you could say that you were right.
Oh, Nicole. Thank God.
Oh, thank God, you buzzed in.
Wikipedia?
Wikipedia, that's right. 90s and garters, teddies and bras. Who knew just how much lingerie there was? I'm too embarrassed to shop the store. That's what these pages were printed for. Lori.
The Victoria's Secret catalog.
Oh, yeah.
For shame.
Hey, just so you know, actually, the Victoria's Secret catalog is no longer being printed. It ceased publication.
The physical, they don't print the physical catalog.
Yeah, 2016,
anymore.
They ended it and just have a podcast.
I watched you at the station confess your crime during interrogation from in the next room the whole time. Lori.
Police camera.
That's not what we're looking for.
Oh. I'm sorry, Nicole.
Oh,
the mirrored glass in an interrogation room.
That's close enough. Yeah, sure.
Good job.
Otherwise known as a one-way mirror.
Oh, good job.
Also known as a two-way mirror. We had an argument about this during our sound check. Two-way mirror is a window. That's not a thing. Whoever's coming up with words, cut it out. Here we go. From science fiction by H.G. Wells, Claude Rains portrayed him to screams and yells. Hat, gloves, and trench coat, so you know he's here. If he got naked, he'd disappear. Nicole.
Oh, it's something from A Clockwork Orange.
No, it is not.
Oh. Just kidding.
Yeah. Lori, do you know the answer?
I do. The Invisible Man.
The Invisible Man is what we're looking for. That's right. All right, this is your last clue. I'm at the movies with these on my nose. My depth perception just goes and goes. Immersive viewing you can't replace. Ben Affleck's Batman right in your face. Nicole.
3D glasses.
Yeah, you got it. John Chinesky, how'd they do?
They both did great, but Laurie, congratulations. You're one step closer to the final round.
Your next game is what happened after Scrabble hooked up with a Russian nesting doll. Nicole, if you could hook up with any game, what game would you choose?
Guess who?
Guess who?
I like options.
Whoa. Yeah.
You get a wide range, I guess. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Glasses, beards, you know, the whole thing.
Sure.
Lori, if you could hook up with any game, what game would you choose?
Password.
Password? And why is that?
I don't know. It's just kind of a fun, old-school game, and we like playing it with friends after dinner.
All right.
Oh.
Yeah. I got what you're saying, Ice Storm. I know.
You shocked Lori.
Sorry, Lori. So we've got a word game for you called Words and Words. The answer to every question is a multisyllabic word followed by a word found in that word. So for an example, let's go to our puzzle guru, John Chinesky.
If I said, my science experiment may or may not include an electrically charged particle, you'd answer optional ion. The word optional contains the word ion.
Yep.
Whoa.
Yeah, we recognize this is impossible. So buzz in to answer, and John Chinesky is standing by to offer any hints if you need them. Lori, you won the last game, so win this, and you're going to the final round. Nicole, you need to win this, or you'll be closer to loser. All right, here we go. I painted a mural of Kurt Cobain's band on the side of my box-like vehicle to express my true inner self. Nicole.
Nirvana van?
Yeah, that's right.
Well done.
Yeah. People who design and build machines or structures need to kick back every once in a while with this beverage distilled from juniper berries. Lori.
Engineer's gin.
Yes, that works perfectly. Yeah. Need to retrieve a nickel-plated robot? Might I suggest attracting its metal using a special trapping device that you'd also use to catch butterflies? Nicole.
Magnet net or magnetic net?
Magnetic net, yes, exactly. Well done. Okay, what makes a fish lucky? If it's albacore or ahi, it just needs to avoid ending up in my lunch. Nicole.
Fortunate tuna.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, God, the crowd is like having different reactions to this game.
It's an unsettling game, that's why.
The lost city of Machu Picchu has been found, but that's only the beginning of the cloak and dagger secrecy of this South American mountain range. Lori.
Andy's eye buzzed in too soon.
Okay. You can have a second to talk it out.
Cloak and dagger. The candid Andes. No.
No. Let's see if Nicole can get any ideas.
You got
no.
it.
No.
No, we were looking for clandestine Andes.
Oh.
I know. Oh, the hills are alive, but they are not talking. Okay. This is your last clue. Do you like a range of options for getting stabbed in the back? Choose from a variety of treacheries arranged on a flat, shallow serving platter. Lori.
Betrayal tray?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right, Puzzle Guru John Chinesky, how did our contestants do?
Well, in that one, Nicole won, so now we are tied again. It must go to a tiebreaker game. I'll give you a category. You go back and forth naming things that fall into that category. First contestant to mess up by giving a wrong answer, repeating an answer, or taking too long is eliminated. Buzz in to answer first. Here's your category. Name the 10 federal holidays. Lori.
Martin Luther King Day.
Martin Luther King's birthday, yes. Nicole.
New Year's Day.
New Year's Day, yes.
Columbus Day.
Columbus Day is correct. Nicole.
Thanksgiving Day.
Thanksgiving Day is right. Lori.
President's Day.
President's Day is correct. Nicole.
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day is right. Lori.
Labor Day.
Labor Day is right. Nicole.
Flag Day.
Not Flag Day. I'm sorry. Lori, that means you are our winner. Sorry to see you go, Nicole. Lori, congrats. You're moving on to the final round. The rest of the holidays were Christmas Day, Independence Day, and Veterans Day.
It's settled. Our finalists are Evan and Lori. They'll face off in our final round at the end of the show. If you notice the word test is conveniently located in the word contestant, come play our games on stage. Go to amatickets.org and find out how. Coming up, we're getting post-global. I, Ophira Eisenberg, will talk to Zazie Beetz from the television show Atlanta about German culture. And that is one of the coolest things I have ever said. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and you're listening to Ask Me Another from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify, the global commerce platform that helps you sell and show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton, here with puzzle guru John Chinesky. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Soon we'll find out which of our contestants, Evan or Lori, will be today's big winner. But first, it's time to welcome our special guest. She plays Vanessa on the FX show Atlanta. Please welcome Zazie Beetz.
Hi.
Welcome to Ask Me Another.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me here.
And congratulations, Atlanta won so many Golden Globes.
Yeah, two.
Yeah.
Two of them.
How drunk are people really at the Golden Globes?
They're pretty shwasted.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. People are... there is a time where you can eat food, but it's only like from 4 to 4:45, and a bunch of people are kind of coming in and doing photos, so they just miss that window. But alcohol is served all night, all the time, and given to you for free.
Right.
And then the parties, the Golden Globes are known to be the like the fun award, yeah. And there's like a bunch of parties. My boyfriend and I went. I don't really drink, and so I was sober, and everybody was reaching that point. Oh. And so we were like, let's go home and, like, make out. So, yeah.
So your character, Van, is a single mom wondering if her baby's father is going to make it as a rapper's manager.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, for those of you who haven't seen Atlanta, it's actually kind of a difficult series to describe because it's billed as a comedy.
Yeah.
But it really captures the day-to-day life of a group of characters who live in Atlanta. Now, you said yourself that you don't really see it as a comedy.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, I think that's what's interesting. We had like one pre-screening before it premiered, and that audience was just like cracking up, kind of like laughing. And then the actual premiere was like kind of silent. And
that's chilling.
So, yeah. So, but I feel that like sort of dual experience watching it. And like when I watch it on my own, I don't laugh that much. And I'm more like in a head nodding place.
And so then you're watching it like a real comedian, by the way. If you just watch it and nod your head and you're like, funny. You know, that's...
Life sucks. You know, it's like very surprising that in the first season it's gotten so much traction and so much love, and particularly the Golden Globes, because that's like a foreign Hollywood thing. And it's such an American show and very specific, niched American. And so that it sort of received
attention like that.
Is interesting.
So I know why I think it did, but from your point of view, why do you think it did? Do you think it's the performances? Do you think it's the what these characters' lives are? What do you think it is that is attracting people so strongly in its first season?
I think Donald is a big attraction.
Yeah. Donald Glover.
And I think it's a little different than a lot of American television.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this reads as a little bit more...
Like it's deeper.
Mm-hmm. And it's sort of an education on a culture that a lot of people maybe don't see the minutia of their everyday. And you have sort of this one picture of maybe what Black life in America looks like. But this kind of shows a nuance within that.
And sort of a naturalistic style, right?
Yeah, and like a very beautiful... I mean, I think it's gorgeous to watch. And I'm really happy to be a part of something that I'm actually proud of.
Yeah.
Because that's not always the case.
So it's not always the case, I understand.
I think also, like, when I watch movies, I just critique them a lot more. And, you know, I feel with music, I'm much more forgiving and like, oh, you know, he just said something bad about women. Whatever. But, like, in movies, I feel... I feel a lot more, this is my medium, I am responsible, I see what you did wrong.
Yeah.
But I think I'm much more picky in my, like, I can't do laugh tracks, I cannot.
Right. Now, season two, what are you hoping to see from your character? I imagine that you have not seen where your character is going yet.
No, I have no idea. I know they've started writing. Donald called me one day and was like, what are your ideas, you know, for season two and stuff? And so I like sent him this long thing of, you know, this should happen. I would actually love to see more women on the show.
Right.
Like one of my favorite episodes to shoot was the one where I spent time with like her friend, and I really bonded with the woman who, Aubyn Wise, who plays Eliza in Hamilton in Chicago. She's fantastic.
And she plays Jade.
She plays Jade, yeah, in the show. And we just connected, and it was very nice to have female energy. Not that there isn't in the crew, but like to work with that was just lovely. And I would love to have, you know, for myself, that'd be really nice.
Was Donald open to having more female talent on the show?
Yeah, I mean, he was just like, great ideas. So, I don't know.
Hopefully.
Who knows?
You said if you, in an alternate universe, if you weren't an actor, you would be a midwife. Why is that?
I love babies.
Oh.
I also have this very deep desire to become a mother.
I always thought that motherhood was my highest calling. Oh my God, it makes me emotional. I just think it's beautiful. So
you can have my kid.
I know I romanticize it. I have a 10-year-old brother too, and so I like know how much it can suck, but like I just feel so influenced by that, and I just love women, and so, and I'm a feminist, and I love saying that, and so I don't know, I feel like all of, like, that's all within that, you know.
Yeah. Who is your dream to portray in a biopic, if you could?
Oh, my God. Billie Holiday or Josephine Baker.
Yeah.
I think Josephine Baker would be so fun. But I have to also say, Billie is someone I play her music when I am having emotions, because I feel like she gets it.
Yeah, she gets it.
And I feel very like this, you got it. Yeah.
Yeah, the tragedy, dealing with all kinds of tragedies.
Yeah.
Okay, Zazie, speaking of non-tragedies, mm-hmm. we have a very ridiculous and fun Ask Me Another Challenge for you.
Okay.
Are you up for an Ask Me Another Challenge?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Excellent. Zazie Beetz, everybody. Zazie, you speak German and spent your childhood summers in Germany, so the next game is perfect for you. Jonathan and I will name a German custom or cultural phenomenon, and then we'll give you two possible definitions for what it could be. You tell us which definition is correct.
Okay.
All right. And if you get enough right, you get an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's worth it.
All right. So how great is your German? How would you say?
Like, it's good.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Can you just give us a little bit just so we know that?
Ja, na klar. Ich spreche Deutsch mit meiner Familie und meinem Papa und meiner Mama. Und jedes Jahr war ich in Deutschland. Das ist halt meine Zweitsprache oder meine Muttersprache, ehrlich gesagt. Genauso wie Englisch.
Totally. Okay, so here is your first German custom or cultural phenomenon. Tell us which of the two possible definitions is the right one for it. What is Griebenschmalz? Is it a spread for crackers or bread made of pork, lard, and cracklins? Mm-hmm. Or is it a word for when you're annoyed at someone for being sad?
It's a spread.
That's right, it is a spread, yes.
What is Topschlagen?
Topschlagen.
Is it a soccer move popularized in Munich where you headbutt the ball to a teammate
mm-hmm.
who also headbutts the ball? Or is it a game where a blindfolded child tries to hit a metal pot with a wooden spoon?
I'm not very versed in soccer, but based on the word, I would say the wooden spoon thing.
That is correct.
Yeah. It means pot hitting.
Pot hitting.
Topschlagen. Okay.
Seems like a cruel game. You put a blindfold on the child, and then he tries to hit a pot with a spoon.
That was me until I was 10.
Okay, how about what is Polterabend? Is it a tradition where you break a bunch of stuff in front of a bride's house the night before her wedding?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a graphic 1963 German horror film banned in the U.S. under obscenity laws?
I think it's the bride thing. Is it that?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Do you know about this tradition?
I know about the tradition. I just wasn't totally sure what it was called. But isn't there kind of like a thing here where you do that?
Smash people's stuff before they get married?
Yeah.
I mean, only if they owe you money.
Maybe not.
I'm not aware of such custom. It's a little aggressive, right?
Yeah.
Some of those dishes are perfectly good. I don't know why.
Yeah.
What is a Schultüte? Gifts given to a child on the first day of school, perhaps to make them feel better about having to go to school, or a horn blown by a teacher to indicate that recess is over.
It's the gifts.
It is the gifts. You're
Although,
right.
And I don't know if this is just Berlin, it's usually called a Zuckertüte, which means a sugar bag. And what they do for like the six-year-olds, they have a huge cone, I guess like a cornucopia thing, and just fill it with candy for the first day. And
like so Kinder eggs?
Like Kinder eggs, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like those.
And like Haribo, like gummy bears, stuff like that. And it's like the big thing.
Okay, what is Schlagdenrob? Is it a one of the steps in making sauerkraut?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a television show where contestants compete against a German comedian in challenges such as go-karting, badminton, and trivia?
Wow. Is it the sauerkraut one?
No, I'm sorry. Schlagdane Rob is, there's a comedian named Stefan Rob.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah,
the German,
it.
He's a German comedian. And
I got it. All right.
Do you know the comedian Stefan Rob?
I feel like I know him. I have to say, I talk to my grandma, my grandpa. So I'm a little culturally out of tune.
Right. Do you know much about joke telling in German?
I have one joke.
Yeah, what is it?
It's a little of a long form joke.
Are you going to tell it in German?
Oh, you want me to tell it in English?
I don't know.
Okay. So there's a Prussian.
Yeah. Okay.
Prussian joke. Yeah.
Zazie, you did great. You went and asked me another Rubik's Cube. Zazie Beetz stars in the show Atlanta on FX. Let's hear it one more time for Zazie Beetz, everybody. All right, now it's time to crown our big winner. Let's bring back our finalists, Evan Halperin, who works from home and claims that he wears pants. And Lori Bader, who saved her boss's life 1 hour after her performance review. Puzzle Guru John Chinesky, take it away.
Lori and Evan, your final round is called For the Win. Every correct answer contains the consecutive letters W-I-N. For example, if I said buildings that Don Quixote believes are giants, you'd answer windmills. Now, the letters W-I-N may come anywhere in the answer and may not necessarily be pronounced win. We're playing this round like a penalty shootout. You'll each get up to 8 questions. The contestant who scores the most points will be our big winner. Your prize is an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube signed by Zazie Beetz. We flipped a coin backstage, and Lori, you will begin. The musical family containing clarinets, oboes, and saxophones, but not trumpets.
Woodwinds.
Woodwinds is correct. Evan. She plays mom Joyce Byers on the Netflix series Stranger Things.
Winona Ryder.
That is correct. Winona Ryder. Very good. Lori, NPR's Susan Stamberg famously went into a closet and chewed this mint flavor of lifesavers to confirm that they create sparks.
Wintergreen.
We'll accept wintergreen or wint-o-green. Evan, urban legend says these snack foods have an indefinite shelf life. Hostess says they have a shelf life of 45 days.
Twinkies.
Twinkies is right. Lori, she controversially played the Ancient One in the Marvel movie Doctor Strange.
Tilda Swinton.
That's right, Tilda Swinton. Evan, a young Leonardo DiCaprio appeared in the final season of this 1980s sitcom about the Seaver family. 3 seconds. That was Growing Pains. Lori, mobile home company headquartered in Forest City, Iowa.
Windstream?
Windstream is incorrect. That was Winnebago we were looking for. Evan, American rapper behind the single Pony. He's also the spokesman for a vodka beverage called Adult Chocolate Milk.
I don't know.
You're looking for Genuine. Genuine. We are at the halfway point. Lori is in the lead 3-2. And Lori, it's your turn. This DJ Khaled song has a German version called Ich kann nur gewinnen.
I can't win.
No, it's all I do is win.
Oh. I can't.
It was worth a shot. Worth a stab. Evan, appliance made by Bernina, Brother, and Singer.
Sewing machine?
Yes, sewing machine. Pulled it out. Nicely done. Lori, Vogue editor-in-chief at the center of the documentary The September Issue.
Anna Wintour.
That's correct. Evan, the color with Pantone code 173932. It shares its name with a plant that has a small bluish flower. 3 seconds.
No.
We were looking for periwinkle. Lori, the American novelist who wrote The Fire Next Time, Go Tell It on the Mountain, and Giovanni's Room. 3 seconds.
I don't have it.
It's James Baldwin.
Oh.
Evan. Author who wrote biographies of the Roosevelts, Kennedys, and Abraham Lincoln. 3 seconds. That's Doris Kearns Goodwin. All right, the score is 4-3. We each have one question left. Lori, if you get this question right, you win. Major League Baseball team that plays at Target Field in Minneapolis.
The Twins.
That is correct.
Unbelievable. Thank you so much, Evan. Lori, congratulations. You're our big winner. And that's our show. Ask Me Another's puzzle guru is John Chinesky.
Hey, my name anagrams to Oh Heck Ninjas.
Our house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Thou Jolta Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Eric Feinstein, Mike Nothnagel, Scott Ross, and senior writers Kyle Beakley and Karen Lurie. Our senior supervising producer is Art Chung. Ask Me Another's produced by Mike Katzeff, Travis Larchuk, Julia Melfi, Denny Shin, Ramel Wood, and our intern Toya Singh, along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We are recorded by Damon Whittemore, Richie Clark, and David Hurtgen. Ask Me Another was created by Eric Newsom and Jesse Baker. We'd like to thank our home in Brooklyn, New York, the Bell House,
Hot Heel Blues,
and our production partner, WNYC. I'm Harriet Begonias,
Ophira Eisenberg,
and this was Ask Me Another from NPR.
Jonathan Colton here. Ask Me Another will be returning to downtown Los Angeles with two back-to-back live shows at the Ace Hotel Theater on August 17th and 18th. And something we've never done before, we're putting 8 celebrities to the test as contestants. That's right, celebrity contestants will put it all on the line for nothing but bragging rights and a coveted Rubik's Cube. You won't want to miss it. Guest information and tickets are at amatickets.org.
I'm Linda Holmes.
And I'm Stephen Thompson. There's more stuff to watch and read these days than any one person can get to. That's why we make Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Twice a week, we sort through the nonsense, share reactions, and give you the lowdown on what's worth your precious time and what's not. Find Pop Culture Happy Hour on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next time on Ask Me Another, we have the stars of the Broadway revival Marvin's Room. I'm talking Janine Garofalo and Lily Taylor. They talk about the impact the play has had on society since its debut in 1991. Plus, we change the lyrics to iconic Broadway songs to make them about movies that should never be musicals. Join me, Ophira Eisenberg, on NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Vuori, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to Vuori.com/NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Rosetta Stone, the perfect app to achieve your language learning goals no matter how busy your schedule gets. It's designed to maximize study time with immersive 10-minute lessons and audio practice for your commute. Plus, tailor your learning plan for specific objectives like travel. Get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
When voters talk during an election season, we listen. We ask questions, we follow up, and we bring you along to hear what we learned. Get closer to the issues, the people, and your vote at the NPR Elections Hub. Visit npr.org/elections.